Hey guys, welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I am your host, Martin. I'm here with my co-host, Sydney.
Hey guys.
Thank you for joining us today. We have an excellent episode. We're going to talk a little bit about Porzingis and the injury. Are we worried about the injury that he's had? Are the Mavericks organization being honest with us? What do you guys think? We're also going to talk about some trade rumors that the Mavs have been linked to. How do we feel about them? Do we want any of these players? We're going to dig into a little bit of these and what some of your suggestions were on Twitter. You can follow myself on Twitter at Martin L. Myers at twitter.com. And you can follow Sydney on Twitter at underscore Sydney L. Myers.
No, just Sydney Myers.
At underscore Sydney Myers. I should know that since we are married.
That's okay.
All right. So let's get into this. So the Mavericks play the Golden State Warriors tonight.
Martin, that was really good.
Okay, I'm on a roll. So the Mavericks play the Golden State Warriors tonight at about 2 o'clock in the morning. And so we're all going to stay up late and watch it and call in
to work. I'm going to get some marshmallows and just make some s'mores.
Yes. I told my boss I was going to be late because the Mavericks were on the West Coast tonight.
Hey, this is more important.
Yes, definitely. So right now, Porzingis is listed as questionable for both tonight and Sacramento.
Although I did hear that he might play
in one of them or
the next one
in Sacramento.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it's about, what, eight games that he's missed?
Something like that.
Yeah, maybe seven. I might be going a little bit too much on that.
We know what we're talking
about. It feels
about.
Like 100 because the Mavericks' interior defense has been absolutely atrocious during the time period that he's been out. Luka's been getting double-teamed like crazy. They're daring other people on the Mavs to beat them. The teams, our opponents are. So how do you feel about the injury? Are you concerned about it, or how do you feel about it?
Well, personally, I'm more impressed by your intro. That was like absolutely amazing. I think you should host from now on.
I'm
not even trying to patronize you. I'm just like being completely honest.
Okay. Well.
Anyways, the Porzingis thing. Yeah. So he got the PRP injection, which is meant to speed up healing, and so they keep saying that it's not an injury, but if like a PRP injection implies that something happened, you know, like you don't need to speed up the healing of something that isn't hurt in the first place. Now, that doesn't mean it's serious, but it just means like definitely something happened there. I did think it was interesting that Cuban in his segment on the Fox Sports Southwest telecast, they asked him about it and he said, it's not a big deal. They're sitting him out like purely just to be careful. It's all precautionary. It's not anything bad or anything like that. I thought it was interesting that he was so adamant about that.
Now, we talked about that in our last podcast about 3 years ago.
We did not talk about that because we didn't post that episode.
All right. So, yeah. So that Cuban comment when he was on the game.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think it was a PR move?
Yeah, so it was weird because he talked about that. They also asked him, it was Derek Harper. He said, you know, this team has really overperformed. Mm-hmm. He said it kind of matter-of-factly, but then Cuban was like, no, we've underperformed. And I thought that was interesting because really, they have overperformed. I mean, at least they've overperformed expectations.
Yeah.
Maybe by the numbers.
From the outside people.
Yeah, maybe by the numbers they expected a certain thing. But expectations, they've definitely overperformed. But right now, in the moment, not all Mavs fans feel that way. Not all Mavs fans are confident right now. So I thought it was interesting that he took that, just that little door that Harper left open to slide in and say, no, like I'm not completely happy with what's going on right now, which I think for a Mavs fan, maybe some fans appreciated that. Like personally, I'm not extremely concerned right now, but if I were, I would appreciate it if, you know, to hear Cuban say like, no, there's definitely some things that we can fix. And even during that telecast, he was like calling out guys like, get the rebound. If we can get a freaking rebound, we can, you know, do whatever. So I thought it was interesting that he made a point to call out those things. And so I kind of feel like that was a little bit of a PR move just to put Mavs fans at ease a little bit.
Well, this happened during the Sixers game, and obviously that happened right after the night before they got absolutely destroyed. They got it handed to them against the Lakers.
Well, they've had several games these
especially
past
here
couple
at home. We've lost against the Hornets at home. We got destroyed by the Lakers. We went 3-3 on the 6-game homestand, which
that really
was
had
not
some easy games in it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think, likewise, I think after the Mavs game, if you were to go on Mavs Twitter, actually, it shut down. It shut down quickly. Like, that's how much we were hurting is.
It was,
We were not only that, it was also a late game.
Yeah,
it was
but
like an
still,
8:45.
No.
But yeah, Twitter had shut down because we didn't want to hear anything about it.
Yeah, I remember after the second Knicks loss, Twitter was crazy. Mm-hmm. We stayed up that night till like midnight just on Twitter because it was a frenzy.
Yes.
Yeah, but after that last loss, it was quiet. There were some thoughts, you know, especially during the game, then after the game, and there were a few recaps. But it was not as crazy as it's been. And I was like, man, it's like we don't even know what to say.
So tying this all back
to your original question,
yes, so he,
am I worried about Porzingis?
Yes, because Cuban used that opportunity. Yeah. He was asked about Porzingis.
Yeah.
And he said he's not worried. This is all precautionary. And just want to make sure that he's okay. It's the first year in a 5-year deal. Do you believe him?
The thing is, so he's missed, I think it was like 7 games. To me, that's not just like a, oh, my knee is kind of sore, let me sit out a couple games. To me, like 7 games indicates that it's something a little more serious. Now, I'm not trying to like cause panic or anything. I'm not saying that his ACL is re-injured. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying,
well, it's a different knee anyways. Yeah.
Well, yeah, true. I'm just saying, I think it is maybe a little more than a sore knee, but I don't think it's serious. I'm not completely concerned, but I am a little more, I'm like, you know, I don't know, between a 1 and 10, I'm like maybe a 4 or something.
So do you think that the way the Mavs are handling it with missing so much time, even though they say it's not a major injury, has a lot to do with the fact that he had missed 2 seasons essentially, and they just, there's no need to risk.
Is that why
he's sitting out more?
Or why they're saying that it's
right,
not?
So let's just imagine the last 2 years, Porzingis plays, no injuries, you know, he misses the regular games like a regular star would miss. Yeah. And this year he's got this sore knee. Do you think he's playing the sore knee? Or do you think he's still sitting out?
I mean, it's hard to say because I don't know what the injury is, or even if it is an injury.
It's just a sore knee. That's what they keep
saying.
Yeah,
they've been so vague about it. And then, you know, the other problem was that he got sick. So it's like he was sitting out because he was sick.
Was
but then there's
really
also
sick?
The knee. And I mean,
kidding.
I'm sure he had the flu. Cause
I
it's
was
going
just kidding.
Around.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. yeah.
So it's hard for me to say because I don't really know what's going on. But if it is what Cuban says, it is purely precautionary, then I think they're just being overly careful because he tore his ACL because of his injury history, because of it's the first year of his max deal, you know, because it's his first season here, they want to keep him happy. Like, I can believe that. Like, that I can believe.
So I'm kind of on that level where
yeah.
I don't believe it's serious. I believe either he banged knees with somebody or hyperextended it or landed weird. And it maybe sprained his knee. Either way, I'm on the side that it's nothing serious, but there's no need to have him play, even if it's sore, with no risk of re-injury.
Yeah.
There's no need to continue to play. We are on the first year of a 5-year, $130 million contract.
As a fan, I want to win every game.
Yes, but we also want Porzingis in year 3 or 4 when Luka's hitting his prime.
It's just like, you know, right now they're, I think, 6th in the West. If they don't start winning some games, they could fall to 7th.
Yeah,
and I
they
get
could.
It.
I mean, the chances of that, even if Porzingis missed the rest of the year, the chances of them falling to 7th is not likely.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not likely. There, as much as the Thunder have been hot for a long time.
Eventually, the Jazz, they're like third now.
But eventually, that heat starts to cool off, and a team will miss 3 or lose 3 in a row or 4 out of 5. That happens to every single team. So eventually, the Thunder are going to miss a couple games, and they're going to come back down to earth. They may hover around 500. That's my prediction.
That's true.
So, with this, then moving on to the trades. because of the Porzingis possibility of him being out longer or just having this problem going forward,
yeah,
do you see the Mavericks being active in the trade deadline?
So I think
in trade season
that one thing that's been brought up whenever the Mavs lose these games is that you can't overreact because they're without Porzingis. Mm-hmm. So you're expected to perform worse without your second best player. And that is true. And I think, so if you take it from another angle, it's like, okay, maybe I shouldn't freak out about this game. But I think the fact that their defense is so terrible without him, maybe this shows that they can shore things up a little bit by making a couple of moves. That's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
Now, will they make a trade? I don't know. I mean, this whole Andre Drummond thing, it's to the point where I don't even know where that rumor started.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you've listened to our podcast before or you follow us on Twitter, we were on an Andre bandwagon for about 5 minutes. And then we thought about it a little bit longer and realized the money's just, it's just too much
yeah.
to have paying for a guy.
Well,
that's...
I didn't realize this. He has an 8% trade kicker.
So he's going to get paid more if you trade for him.
If he gets traded, he'll be at about $29.2 million. And Porzingis, in contrast, is making, I think, $29.8 million.
Yeah. So in a league where bigs are becoming like running backs in the NFL, you don't really want to overpay for one because you can do it by committee.
True.
Because everything's playmaking now. You need to pay playmakers. So the Mavericks, they've already committed $30 million to Porzingis. Now, he's a little unique. One, they had to do that because they couldn't afford to lose him.
Yeah.
Two, he's not a stereotypical big. He's more like a wing and
yeah.
kind of a playmaker.
He plays on yeah. the wing, yeah.
So then what do the Mavericks do with trade deadline if Drummond's not in the picture?
So Brian Windhorst's podcast, he had McMahon on, and they talked about some rumors. First of all, McMahon said that he would be shocked if they traded for Andre Drummond. So
as would I.
Yeah.
As would Cuban.
yeah. but two guys that they brought up were Andre Iguodala and how did I just forget
Covington?
His name? Robert Covington. Yeah. Now Iguodala, he's been floated around. I don't think anyone really knows for sure what's going to happen, but he has been linked to the Mavs. However, McMahon said that he would be surprised if they traded for Iguodala because the Mavs see that as just a rental because
mm-hmm.
they expect him to go. Everybody expects him to go back to Golden State this summer. So they don't want to trade. They don't want to use these assets for a half season rental. But Robert Covington sounded like he was definitely in play, and he's a 3-and-D guy. He's a lot like Dorian Finney-Smith. Does that solve their playmaking deficiencies?
No.
No, it doesn't. I mean, he is a better playmaker than Dorian Finney-Smith. If you watch him, like, you know, these times whenever defenses close out on Finney-Smith and he's got to put the ball on the floor and make a play, he can't always do that. Now, I think he's gotten a little bit better at it, but he can't really do that. Robert Covington can. That's not his game, but he can do that 3 to 5 times a game and it'll be effective. Like it, you know, he won't just turn it over. So he's a little bit of an improvement there in terms of making plays, but he's not a playmaker. So it would improve their defense, which I think that's a worthy improvement, but it doesn't solve like these other big things that fans talk about.
So are we talking about Covington then taking over the starting role for Dorian? Let's say we trade for Covington. He comes in. Is it now Luka, Tim, Covington, Porzingis, Powell, and then Dorian comes off the bench.
So first of all, yeah, they would be able to keep Finney-Smith. At least that's the rumor. So they would have both players, but then the assumption is that Finney-Smith would come off the bench, but that's only because Dwight Powell is just too good to bench.
Oh. See what you've done there. Yes. Dwight Powell, the leader of the Mavs.
But also as much as, you know, like, yeah, it would be cool to start all these random lineups. But really, I think in Carlisle's system, you need a rim roller. And so I don't think you could play Finney-Smith and Covington because then you wouldn't really have a rim roller.
Yes, but you would be playing five out. Essentially,
yeah.
Everybody on the court would be a three-point shooter. I think that would open up the floor just as well as Dwight Powell's rim-running ability. Although it is the greatest of all time, it will still help with that. Now,
well,
here's
I have thoughts on that, but later
on. Okay, so here's a thought.
Okay.
Covington 6'7", could you slide him in as the two guard and bring Hardaway off the bench? Now, Covington is a more natural scorer than Dorian.
Yeah.
He's just a more natural scorer, more natural shooter. Dorian
but
was
not
an offensive player at all.
Yeah.
So he's had to really work hard, and he has to get to the ability or get to where he's at now where he can shoot threes. Covington's more of a natural shooter and scorer. Can he play the two, help with the defense on the wings, brings him Hardaway off the bench?
That's interesting.
Because Hardaway's not really helping that much with playmaking other than creating his own shot, which unfortunately is super important for the Mavericks right now.
Yeah.
But could you sacrifice a couple of minutes where he can do that coming off the bench? I mean, although he didn't do it well to begin with.
Yeah. That's interesting because, like you said, Hardaway is important. I think of him as being important for their playmaking. And it's like we already talk about how they need another playmaker, taking Hardaway off and inserting a really like non-playmaker. That seems counterintuitive. However, like you said, like Hardaway, he's not a playmaker in that he creates plays for the offense or the rest of the team. It's really he creates the shot for himself, which is
fine.
Which is great.
It's
yeah.
what the Mavs need.
I don't mean that as a bad thing.
And not
thing.
That he can't make a play.
True, yeah.
But essentially he's better at making them for himself.
For himself, yeah. And yeah, that's not a bad thing, but when you look at it as like, you know, oh, we need playmaking. It's like, well, Hardaway actually doesn't really create that right now. Now, maybe in other ways, in terms of like geometry and gravity and stuff that I don't understand. Like,
flat Earth.
I mean, I understand these things, but it's not something I know enough about to talk about right now. So there might be other intangible ways that he creates plays, but you know, just in terms of like that playmaking, when you think of it the way that Luka does it, that's not what Hardaway does. So if you replaced Hardaway with Covington and then you still had Finney Smith, you would lose maybe some of that shot creation, but Covington can make plays and then their perimeter defense would be
a huge improvement.
Really good. Yeah. And that would help their interior defense because
especially while Porzingis is out, but imagine when he's back. Sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm just trying to bounce off of you.
Yeah. No. That was good. I thought you were continuing it.
Oh, no. Imagine even when Porzingis is back, imagine then having Covington and Dorian with Porzingis there in the paint.
Yeah. And Powell.
Well, you can't forget Powell.
But yeah, I mean, so their perimeter, their defense as a whole would improve and they wouldn't lose anything in terms of shooting. Robert Covington is a career, let me see,
36%
three-point shooter.
Which I think that's slightly better than career Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, probably.
Now, to be fair, Tim Hardaway, since he's been in the starting role, is around like 44%.
Yeah.
And he's been great. And I don't want to replace Tim Hardaway with Robert Covington.
No,
that's not
just
what I'm saying.
We're just spitballing here.
Yeah.
It's not all going to be gold.
And I envision, let's imagine that happens. And let's say, hypothetically, Covington gets the starting role at two guard. I envision the way the games close or when the Mavericks are finishing a game. You'll have Hardaway, Covington, and Dorian out there with Porzingis at the five.
Kind of like the way they used to do it with Jed.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Jed, when he came off the bench, you know, they started, like, say, in 2011, they had Stevenson and Kidd. You know, that was not a playmaking guard lineup. Now Kidd could make plays, but he wasn't dynamic like Luka, you know. That was a lot of defense. And so, like, it can work. But I don't know. There's a balance you have to strike between like, oh my God, our defense would be amazing. And like, oh yeah, we need to score, you know? And I don't know, maybe that's too far in one direction.
My dream would be for Porzingis to be willing to play the five full time and just accept that because it's not going to be a traditional five. He's still getting the same rebounds because on defense, his role isn't going to change at all.
Yeah.
He's already playing the five on the defensive end. Offensively, he's quote-unquote playing the four, but the Mavericks don't really care about all that. They have a roller and a floor spacer.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, if he played the five full-time, that would allow Hardaway, Covington, and Dorian to all play. I think that helps with your playmaking ability because Covington is a little bit better playmaker. Tim Hardaway is, you know, he's a better playmaker. Now,
he's a shot creator.
Yeah, are they all-time great playmakers? No. But I think it's maybe just enough shooting and playmaking and defense in order to help the Mavericks out. Now, theoretically, in my opinion, and on paper, that would work great.
Yeah.
Would it actually work on the court? I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah. So. I mean, that is more appealing if Porzingis could play the five, because then you can have the playmaking and shot creation of Luka and Hardaway, plus the defense of Dorian and Covington and Porzingis.
I think what also makes that unique is not only is it five out, but...
Yeah, you could legitimately play five out with that.
Because everybody is a legit three-point shooter.
Yeah.
But Porzingis has the ability to shoot from like 35 feet.
Yeah.
And if he makes that consistently for the next year or so, and he shoots around 35, 36% from 35 feet, he can start standing out there.
True.
And the defender, his defender, would have to stay out there on him, which would open up the floor even way more than imaginable.
That reminds me, so we're going to talk about this later on, but Steve Nash was recently on Bill Simmons' Book of Basketball podcast, and he talked about how D'Antoni wanted them to space out so much. And he told them, if you're in the corner, I want you all the way in the corner, almost behind the backboard. He said, because even just those few feet
opens up and the inches.
If you're a few feet in, your defender can, you know, cheat or kind of guard two guys. But just a couple feet to go all the way to the corner, it stretches the defense out so much. And I think that's why Porzingis being on there, being able to take those shots,
which I really think that Carlisle, and I'm not in Carlisle's head, although he may not know it, I think Carlisle really likes when Porzingis shoots it that far out, because if he can make those consistently, that's just going to force defenders, even if it's just a couple more inches or a foot that they have to go out there, it opens that up, that it opens the lane up that much more for our driving player, whether it's Luka or Hardaway or Dwight Powell.
Yeah.
So what about then, all right, if we're on board then with Covington?
Yeah, I guess. So I like Covington, but like my first initial thought was I'm not sure about the fit. And not like, yes, as a player he fits, but in terms of how would the rotations work, what would the lineup be? I don't know if there's a place for him, unless you just swapped him out for Dorian.
I was going to say, would you agree, though, that he is better than Dorian?
He is better than Dorian, although McMahon said that a scout told him that Dorian is playing better than Covington right now. Now, maybe Covington's just in a slump, but...
And maybe the system. You never know. True. You know, so... okay, with the Porzingis injury, does that make you want to maybe trade for somebody that can... Maybe, let's say Porzingis was out for 20 games. We can't go like this, the way we're going for 20 games. Is there anybody out there that the Mavericks could get that would help them sustain their record or still be good while he's out?
I mean, the only guy that fits, well, really just offensively, a lot of people talk about Kevin Love, but I don't think the Mavs are going to...
Not for that money.
No, yeah, not for that money.
You can't pay Porzingis and Love...
Yeah. And that was one, you know, what McMahon was saying in this pod was that he doesn't expect the Mavs to make any big moves because they're so concerned with their 2021 cap space. And so
because we're going to get Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Well, you know,
duh.
It's not just Giannis that's a free agent. When you look at the list, it's literally like every single NBA player is a free agent in 2021. So when you look at it that way, it's like, okay, I understand.
So before we move on from that.
Okay.
Any year you look at the free agent list and you're looking 2 years in advance, half the league is a free agent.
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
Extensions get signed, people get traded. Like, so to think that this free agent class of 2021 is going to be the greatest ever. Yes, right now it is, but who knows what it's going to look like by the time we actually get there.
I hope Giannis signs his extension
with Milwaukee
this summer.
Yes.
This summer, because then it would be over. Now, I think the Mavs would still keep their cap space because there are still a lot of free agents. But at least that would be over. And I want him to stay in Milwaukee. I want him to stay there. I want to have that team be good.
You don't want?
I want to compete against him in the finals. And, you know, it would be fun.
So you don't want the two players that are the players of the decade To be on the same team? What is wrong with you? No. You want them to go against each other?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's like, that's what makes the league. I mean, like the classic, you know, Magic and Bird. I mean, everybody
Durant
loves that.
And Curry.
Oh. Or, you know, yeah. I mean, Bill Russell and Wilt. Like, it's like, that's what people want to see. Kobe and whoever, you know, was in the East.
My prediction is he stays in Milwaukee.
At least for this extension.
Yes.
Usually, after that, he might move
Yeah,
on. Usually you get your rookie deal and your extension. Teams generally get about 7 years.
He's on that one
years.
Right now.
Yeah.
So this
would
be a new
extension?
One. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, yeah. Never mind.
He's on his rookie extension.
Yeah.
So this is his full-on, full-blown Supermax extension.
I just... You know, at the same time, I thought Durant was that kind of person that would stay. And he turned out to be... not anything like anybody thought he was, and not in a good way. People had this really nice picture painted of him.
Okay, so he's big enough for
me. And he
like
turned
that.
Out to be like the complete opposite. And so Giannis, I think he is that nice kind of guy, but
right.
I don't know.
We keep getting off topic.
Okay, so
what about?
I wasn't done with my thought though.
Oh, you weren't. Okay, you'd been.
Well,
talking
no, the trade thing. So McMahon said they probably won't make a big deal. A big trade. Mm-hmm. So if it is, it would probably be for like a Robert Covington, maybe Iguodala, even though he said they're probably not interested. Jay Crowder was floated around a little bit. And I really like Jay Crowder. I always have. I think he's a solid guy, good defender. He plays with confidence. He's not a great player, but he's good. You know what you're going to get
he's
out of him.
He's a Carlisle guy.
Yeah, he's a Carlisle guy, and I think he would fit. Now, is that just me being a fan and being like, you know, oh, he used to be here, I want him back? It could be that, but I think he's a good player. And yeah, I mean, if they got him for nothing, then yeah, sure, why not?
So I believe it would be smart for the Mavericks to have a solid big that can back up Porzingis and play a similar style as Porzingis. Now,
well,
one could make the argument,
Maxie
yes,
does.
And for some weird reason, we haven't been using Maxie like Porzingis. Yeah. The last game in Philadelphia was the last time, or the first time, we saw him in the starting lineup with Capel.
Okay, one thing interesting about that, in his last press conference, or, you know, post-game thing, Rick Carlisle was talking about Maxie, and he said he really likes him, and he wishes they could play him more, but... he thinks that the minutes would be too much for him. And I thought that was an interesting comment. And so I wonder if under normal circumstances they would start him, but they've, you know, examined his body type and they've just determined that his body can't handle starters' minutes.
Well, and that's true because the last 2 years or his first 2 years with the Mavericks, he's always had a sore knee or a bone bruise or something after he's played a lot, so they want to keep his minutes down.
Yeah. That's just a random thing. Like, maybe that's why they start Powell over Maxie.
So what about Gallinari?
Okay, I really like Gallinari.
Power forward
role and the Thunder...
temporarily.
Like, there's a lot of guys on the Thunder that I like. For example, and this might be me just being desperate, but I think Chris Paul could help the Mavs. I've always thought he was a jerk, but that's why I'm saying maybe I'm just being desperate right now. But... his veteran leadership and his playmaking ability, he could really help the Mavs. However, his contract is so huge.
It's ridiculous.
It's not going to happen. I mean, I don't even know if they have the contracts to make it happen.
They probably could make it fit
but
somehow.
It would, yeah.
Because the Thunder will be like, oh no, throw that player in. We'll take him too.
Yeah.
You know?
So him, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I've always liked. I mean, that was such a great draft
pick by
the Clippers. But to get him. But yeah, he's a young player, probably not, you know, probably off the books.
Steven Adams, Gallinari, Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah. So he's one that if the Mavs wanted to get him, I think he would be easier to get than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because he's older. And
let's just go ahead and agree that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is on their no trade list.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, so. I agree with that. So Dennis Schroeder, his playmaking ability, I think could help the Mavericks. However, I've heard that he's got, I don't know, some kind of like attitude or personality problems. I don't know if that's true. He seems
maybe
to be doing fine right now. Yeah,
maybe
we could use a little crazy. So that him I like. And then, yeah, Gallinari. I really like Gallinari.
So I like Gallinari to come off our bench. Now, when Porzingis is out, I like for him to be in the starting role because I think that keeps your offense the way it's similar. Already running. Now, your defense is still going to get shredded because we have Powell as our rim protector at that point.
Yeah, but his alley-oops.
Yes, but I think offensively it keeps the pressure off of Luka just that much more because you can't really leave Porzingis or
Gallinari.
Yeah, Gallinari, he just comes with that reputation. Maxey doesn't. So
yeah.
Although Maxey can shoot threes consistently, he doesn't draw the same attention. And
well,
I think,
and also Gallinari is better
than
Maxey.
Well, and I think Gallinari, just with the name alone and his reputation, guys are more reluctant to leave him. And I think having him on the team, and not just for this year, but going forward long term.
Yeah.
Because the Mavericks are going to need somebody just for load management purposes. Because anytime Porzingis is out, we can't lose that game. So you have to have a valuable big.
Is that a valuable?
Like, yes.
That's Why does that sound so weird?
I have no idea.
Valuable.
I'll make my point later.
Okay, sorry. Valuable.
I think another guy.
That's a weird word.
That would fit their style of offense and help defensively. And I don't know. Obviously, he would have to start or come off the bench. I don't know.
But just say it, man.
It's Miles Turner.
Own it. Miles Turner.
So
yeah.
Turner is a floor spacer on offense.
But are the Pacers even, why would they be interested in trading him?
I mean, he's never really developed into the guy that they thought he were. So I doubt he's untradeable. I don't know what his contract looks. My whole point is I'm thinking about somebody who can fill Porzingis' role on offense and his role on defense. Yeah. And unfortunately, the next guy available is Turner.
Yeah.
There's really nobody that shoots threes on offense and is the rim protector on defense.
At that point, I think you might as well just go with Maxey.
Well, Maxey, yes, or just and having Gallinari or another shooter out there.
So Gallinari is making $22 million this year, and that's this is final year of his deal.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So as an expiring contract, I don't know if the Thunder would trade him because they would get that cap space. I think if they traded him, it would be for like a young asset or a pick or
a
something.
Pick. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I would love to have Gallinari because I think he's a veteran. He's been in big games. He's been the number one guy. He's now, you know, savvy. He's a good playmaker. He's a good shooter. I think he would bring a lot to this team. Not great defensively. I understand that. And the injury concerns. I understand all of that. I like him, though.
So let's close up this section then, or this segment. Final word, do the Mavericks make a trade? And if so, for who?
I don't think they're going to make a trade.
Okay. What about their trade exception expiring?
Okay. So Windhorst said that the Mavericks are one of the most interesting teams at the trade deadline because, one, the trade exception, two, Courtney Lee's expiring deal, and three, the second round pick they have from the Warriors.
And four, Luka is much better than they thought he was going to be.
Yeah. And the second round pick will probably be the 31st pick, which is like kind of a first round pick. And a lot of teams want that. However, McMahon said they, or I think it was Windhorst said they want to keep that pick because they don't have a first round pick. So, I mean, there might be some activity, and I get it, the trade exception.
Which is a yes or no question.
Brad Townsend brought out a good
source.
Point. Brad Townsend brought out a good point. He was like, yeah, they have the trade exception, but how many trades have you heard of being done solely on the basis of the trade exception?
Well,
like, it
no.
just doesn't happen.
Obviously, the trade exception is used in a trade to help the
Along
salaries
with other
work.
Things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my prediction is the Mavericks will be looking for the right deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, obviously, the Warriors pick Courtney Lee and the trade exception is going to be the baseline of that package. But only for the right person will they actually make that deal.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. I don't know if the right person is available.
If they can't find the right person, I think they find a way to, because you don't want the trade exception to just expire for nothing.
True.
So I do think if they can't get anything else to work, I think last minute you'll see a trade for Iguodala where it's Courtney Lee and the trade exception. We keep our pick, though, for Iguodala, knowing that, yes, it may be a one-year rental.
But why not?
But why not? You're going to lose that exception anyways, so you might as well just do it.
Or they might do the same thing for some random player.
Like Gallinari.
Or, I mean, just somebody that would be an asset.
Some rando, yeah.
Yeah, like you know, some random young player that doesn't really fit. Maybe they don't need him, but he has maybe 2 years left on his deal or something. He's an asset they can use maybe next year.
I would say if the Mavericks, if Luka and Porzingis weren't so young, they would be super aggressive. And I think players like Kevin Love would be in the mix. And and Chris Paul, anybody that is a star or future past star, whatever.
Gallinari,
that's
not
a, I think they would be trying to make those moves because, you know, you want to be good every year. You want to compete every year. But the fact that Luke is 20 years old, they want to make a deal, I think. But it's got to be the right one. And if it's not the right one, they'll probably use that trade exception accordingly and get Iguodala. But what do I know?
I want to read some trade ideas from the peeps on Twitter. Okay, some of these are really good.
Yes, but I think sometimes, not all, but some people don't understand that the other team would have to want to do the trade.
Well, okay, so this is for listen fun. To this one. Okay. This is a good one. It's Lay from at PandaHank41.
I think I saw this one.
So the Mavs give the Bucks Courtney Lee.
Yes, I love this one.
Dwight Powell. And their second round pick, I think. And they get back Giannis. I mean, it's Dwight Powell we're talking about. Okay, like why would the Bucks not?
The Mavericks are the greatest team in NBA history when Powell's on the court.
Also, you know, just.
I know he only averages.
In parentheses, when Luka is also on the court.
And 5 rebounds. And can't protect the rim for anybody. But
I think this is
their offensive rating is higher than Giannis's offensive rating when he's on the court.
Yeah, with Luka.
With Luka. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that one could work. Here's another one. Oh, I need to make these bigger. Goodness, I didn't realize my eyes were that bad. Okay. Okay. This is a three-team trade. The Mavericks get Robert Covington and Steven Adams, which I like. This is also from Panda Hank, by the way. The Timberwolves get Dennis Schroeder. I think that makes sense.
Hey, they want Schroeder.
Yeah. And the Thunder get Courtney Lee, Dwight Powell, Jalen Brunson, and 2 second-round picks. Basically, so you're trading Courtney Lee, Dwight Powell, and Brunson for Robert Covington and Steven Adams. I don't know.
I mean, the
Steven Adams thing, I would like to have Steven Adams. But
again, you're talking about the contract.
Yeah, true.
So I just don't see the Mavericks getting a big for any large amount of money.
Okay, let me find one that is not. Okay, well, how about this one? This is from at Dusty151. The Mavs get Tristan Thompson. The Cavs get Courtney Lee and Dwight Powell. Now, you've talked about Tristan Thompson. The only thing I'll say is I hear sometimes he's consistent on effort.
He's not consistent on effort?
Yeah,
okay.
He's not consistent.
You said he's
on
consistent
effort.
On effort. So he's I was
not
like, what?
No, I said he's not consistent on effort.
Well, we have the recording, so we can see what you actually said.
Can I finish my sentence? Anyways, basically just sometimes inconsistent on effort. But I mean, you know, if you think he's an upgrade over Dwight Powell, then who cares?
Well, he is. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't
have
care
to look
what
at the numbers. I don't know.
Throw the freaking numbers out the window. Tristan Thompson is a better center than Dwight Powell. Now, that's not saying much.
He is older, though.
I'm not a big fan of Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
Only because the only reason I would take him is because he's better than Dwight Powell.
I think it's just that you want to get rid of Dwight Powell.
I don't want to get rid of Dwight Powell.
It's not even about Tristan Thompson.
I like Dwight Powell, and I want him on the team. He's just not a starting center.
Yeah.
And that's my only
point. I think if he came off the bench, I would be.
Him and Maxey have great chemistry when they're on the court together. And I think they can play a lot together with Luka. But I just don't want Powell starting.
Yeah. Okay. Here's one from at @PDX_Mavs. Good follow. Good listener. The Mavs get Zaire Smith from the Sixers. And the Sixers get Jalen Brunson in a second round pick. Now you might be thinking, who the heck is Zaire Smith?
I think it's Zaire Smith.
Zaire Smith. Who the heck is this guy? I don't even know how to say his name.
Who he play for?
Yeah. He plays for this. He's a rookie. He's played 6 games this season. We're about 30 games into the season.
Good.
And he's averaged 6.5 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He's a shooting guard. I honestly don't know why the Mavs would do this trade unless PDX Mavs just sees something in Zaire Smith.
Maybe he liked his college game or something.
Yeah. But that's an interesting
one. I mean,
if
we're trading for anybody from the Sixers, it's going to be Matisse Thybulle.
Okay, here's a four-team trade. Oh, you're going to like this one. Okay. It involves the Kings, Mavs, Lakers, and Timberwolves. Okay.
Have you ever seen a four-team trade?
It's possible. So the Kings get Courtney Lee and Kyle Kuzma, essentially Kyle Kuzma. The Mavs get Bojan Bogdanović, or is it
Bojan?
Bojan Bogdanović. Yeah. All these bitches.
Oh no, this one.
He's the one from the Kings. Bogdan Bogdanović.
Bojan plays
whatever.
For the Jazz.
It's the white bitch guy. That one from the Kings. Okay.
The other one's white too.
Yeah, your face. Okay. The Lakers get Robert Covington, and the Timberwolves get Rashawn Holmes, DeMarcus Cousins, Quinn Cook, and Jalen Brunson. Did you catch all of that?
It's all the rejects.
Yeah, kind of. Well, Rashawn Holmes, though, a lot of people like, I think it would essentially be Rashawn Holmes would be the big, and Brunson. But basically, the Mavs get Bogdanović. That's the punchline. And they only have to give up Courtney Lee and Brunson. I mean, when you look at it that way.
I mean, if you can get Bogdanović, you do it just because it will make Lukey happy. And we got to keep him happy.
Yeah.
And if you bring in his buddy, then fine. Even if it's not going to take you over the edge, you're not losing much
over
it.
But the Lakers are only getting Robert Covington. And
they're not going to trade.
And they're giving up Kyle Kuzma.
Trading Kuzma for Covington.
But Bogdanović just... You know, when you look at just that piece of it, I do like Bogdanović. I mean, if they could get him, yeah, I would love that. But I don't think the Kings
will.
Well,
and I don't think the Kings will trade anybody to the Mavericks because of the Luka situation.
True.
So they're not going to give them another one of their good players. Watch him come over to Dallas and average 25 a game.
If you don't know, there's rumors, or maybe it's not even rumors, it's confirmed that Kings, Vlade Divac, didn't draft Luka because he doesn't like Luka's dad. Which is dumb, but that they probably...
Even if that wasn't true, he just didn't think he was a good fit.
Yeah.
That's also stupid.
I'll never forget that press conference after that. Why'd you guys draft Bagley over Luka? Better fit, better player. Really? Like, even you don't believe that. Okay. Okay, this one
even Bagley didn't believe that.
This one is from @Athesis00. Yeah.
Close enough.
Mavs get Ricky Rubio and Aaron Baines. Suns get Courtney Lee, Boban, and Jalen Brunson.
Not trading Boban.
Oh, not even for Ricky Rubio?
Not trading Boban.
And Aaron Baines. He flops too much.
Yeah, just not trading Boban.
I don't like Aaron Baines.
Boban's going to be with the Mavericks for the rest of his career.
Okay, so you won't like the next one either? Because that was also...
We're not trading Boban. Whoever, you need to block these people that suggested we trade Boban.
You won't like that one either because it was also Boban.
What are these people thinking?
Okay, here's one.
God.
Mavs get Jason Richardson and...
Jason Richardson?
No, not Jason.
Josh Richardson. I was going to say, he retired.
Hey, that would be cool, though. And Korkmaz, I don't remember what his first name is. And the Sixers get Courtney Lee and Justin Jackson. Basically, Justin Jackson for Josh Richardson. But the Sixers aren't trading Josh Richardson.
No, they're not going to trade Josh Richardson. That would be like trading Tim Hardaway for Josh Jackson.
Yeah, Justin Jackson.
Justin Jackson.
Josh Jackson. Was he not even a team star? Anymore. Oh, no, yeah, Josh
Well, yeah,
Jackson.
Joshua Jackson.
Joshua Jackson. Yeah, yeah. Okay. He was back with that dude from Lord of the Rings.
Dawson's Creek, I think. Joshua Jackson.
I don't know. Something like that. Okay. Yeah. Next one. It's the Knicks. I don't see the Mavs and the Knicks doing a trade, but basically the Knicks would get Dwight Powell and Justin Jackson, and the Mavs would get Marcus Morris and Robinson. Now, Marcus Morris has actually played well.
Mitchell Robinson. The Knicks aren't trading Mitchell. He's the only bright spot they have. Yeah. They're not going to trade him.
That and anytime Porzingis is injured.
Well,
that's as good as
I'm
winning
just saying,
a game.
Like Mitchell Robinson is the only thing they got going for them right now. They're not going to, well, they might trade that one piece because it's the New York Knicks.
Now, we can't destroy all of these trades because I asked people to send these
trades. I'm
trade
not destroying
ideas,
them. I just,
who are saying, you guys are idiots.
No, I'm sorry if I'm doing that. What I'm saying is, like, the other team's going to have to agree to it. So they're not going to just do it because the Mavericks
need. You don't think the Lakers would trade Kyle Kuzma for. Robert Covington?
I mean, that they might,
or
because...
the Kings would trade Bogdanovich for Jalen Brunson.
No, they would not do that.
I made it clear that the trades could be as crazy as you wanted it to be.
But that one does bring up a good player, and that's Morris.
Marcus Morris.
Marquise Morris, because I don't know which one it is.
It's okay. Marcus Morris.
I would love him on the Mavericks, and I think him coming off the bench, also him filling in when Porzingis is out, I think he would be a perfect fit for the Mavs. And plus, he's got a little bit of attitude, which the Mavericks could use some of that right now. And he's a veteran. He's kind of a punk, which I like in a good way. I'd like to have him on the Mavs.
Yeah. Okay. Couple more. This is from at Brent Edmondson. So,
sorry if I'm bashing your guys' trades.
Yeah, you're just being a jerk, whatever. Washington gets Courtney Lee and Jeff Green. The Clippers.
Jeff Green?
Yeah, he's still in the league. Yeah. The Clippers get Thomas Bryant, and Dallas gets Davis Bertans and Montrezl Harrell.
That's Jamichael Green.
Jamichael Green.
Jeff Green got waived by the Jazz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it only has the J, so it's hard.
Jamichael
Green. So Jamichael Green and
Courtney Lee go to Washington. The Mavs get Davis Bertans, and Harrell from the Clippers.
Oh, well.
And the Clippers get... No. Dallas gets Davis... you know what? I'm a little confused.
So in the end of it, the Mavs get Davis Bertans and Montrezl Harrell?
Yes.
Do it.
Yes.
Do it.
Excellent, Brent Edmondson. I like that
yes,
one.
I like him. He's a good Twitter
guy.
Good follower. Great idea.
Great idea.
Both of those guys are perfect.
Love it.
I don't know if we have the assets for that, but man, I would take them
for Courtney
in a heartbeat.
Lee. That's an expiring deal.
I don't want to. We're not mocking
Teams
this guy.
Want cap
Brent
space.
Brent's one of our good
He's
ones.
He's a good one. Okay.
He's one of our good followers. Obviously, I would take Harrell and Davis Bertans in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the perfect fit. I don't see Washington or the Clippers doing that for that deal, for those players. But,
I think they would.
I mean, if they did, I'd take it in a heartbeat. But I just don't see that happen. But that one would be absolutely perfect for the Mavs.
I would like to have Harrell.
Harrell and well, Bertans.
Well, you've said before you'd like
Harrell
to have Harrell.
I think the Mavericks need to go after this summer.
Yeah. I mean, he might be plausible since the Clippers might not want to pay him.
He might ask
a lot of money.
I don't think the Mavericks have any money. But they might if Hardaway opts out.
Yeah.
And if he continues to have a good year, then he might opt out and then just re-sign with Dallas. We can re-sign our own guys and go over the salary cap.
Yeah, true. Okay, last one. From at Arman Miladinovi. Okay. Mavs get Robert Covington and Gorgie Jang. I've never known how to say his name. The Timberwolves get Courtney Lee and Jalen Brunson.
I mean, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I think somebody else suggested this trade too.
I think the Timberwolves would have to have the second round pick.
Yeah, he said
and
also
the trade exception.
You would add the trade exception and the pick too.
I mean, I don't know if the Timberwolves would do that because Covington is kind of a, especially with contenders, he's a well sought out.
Yeah.
After.
I mean, if you're getting offered something better, but you can't just say, no, he's off. I mean, you can't be emotional about that. You know, he's not Klay Thompson.
Well, no, but I think you got to think of what the Timberwolves' needs are. Their needs are point guard, and maybe Jalen does that, but maybe that Jalen doesn't do anything for them. I think somebody that would probably light their fire a little bit more would be Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, true.
They might be interested in that. But obviously I would do that in a heartbeat if the Timberwolves agreed to it. I don't think they would.
Okay. Those are the last of the Twitter trades.
Okay. So I just want to apologize. I know some of our great followers submitted those.
Oh yeah. No, we were totally that was all in good fun.
Good fun. Okay, good.
These people, I mean, some of them might actually be joking too, but also I don't think any of them are stupid or anything.
No.
You know, I mean, and sometimes the trades that actually happen
are some
crazy.
Of the craziest trades ever. Yes. Yeah. Like the Porzingis for Dennis Smith Jr.
Exactly. Hey, well, we won't.
Yeah.
We won't have to talk about Smith. He's had a rough time lately.
Who?
Dennis Smith Jr.
Is that an NBA player?
He struggled to contribute with the Mavericks, but, you know, I don't want to like start bashing him or anything. Anyways, let's move on.
Okay. What is our next topic?
All right. So I was listening to...
Well, you're supposed to tell me and then I introduce it because I'm the host.
Oh, okay. Well, can I introduce it?
Yes.
Thanks.
Well, our next topic, please.
Earlier today, I was listening to Bill Simmons' Book of Basketball 2.0 podcast. Great podcast. Follow it or listen to it. He had on Steve Nash, and Steve Nash was talking about the 2007 playoff series against the Spurs, and he made some comments about the physicality of the Spurs that I thought were very pertinent to the Mavericks situation with Luka and the way defenses play him. Because Nash said that the Spurs and a lot of teams were just extremely physical with him. They would beat him up. He said they would push him around. Bruce Bowen would step on his feet. He said there was one time it was the end of a quarter. This is in the playoff series. It was the end of the quarter, so he was just holding the ball for the last shot. And Bruce Bowen is literally just slapping his wrists, his arms, like just slapping his arms. And the ref is right there. And Steve Nash looked at the ref like, come on, man. And he's like, the ref was like, just play through it, you know. Like, and so he said it was that kind of physicality that
just play through
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, of course, this was 07. So 06 finals had rigged. Just happened. Yeah, yeah, and everything in that series with yeah. Stoudemire standing up and getting suspended yeah. for it. Yeah. And so, but I thought that was, you know, close to what Luka deals with today. And he said that a lot of teams would do that. They would just play him extremely physically because really in terms of basketball, the teams couldn't beat them. They couldn't stop Nash. They couldn't stop the pick and roll. Now teams can, but you know, back then they were like the best in the league at it. And so they couldn't beat them just straight up basketball, so they would just beat him up physically. And he said, you know, that going on through the entire season, and then you get to the playoffs, he said, you know, now when I watch it, I was exhausted. Like, I didn't have any energy. There was no pep in my step. They had just beat me down. And so, you know, maybe, yeah, like in terms of defense, I still could have smoked them, but I didn't have the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was... You know, a lot of what Luka deals with is that kind of physicality. You know, Nash said they did the same thing with Chris Paul. Teams were physical with him. We talk about the Clippers and mm-hmm. how teams were physical with them because they knew they could get them out of their game. He said they do the same thing with Steph Curry. Like, anytime there's a team that has a ball dominant or a ball handler or a point guard, they beat them down physically because they know, like, this is the head of the snake. And if we... Since he makes every play, if we can wear him out, then we have a chance at beating them. And I think that's what Luke is dealing with. And I think that's why it's never going to stop, because the Nash dealt with it for his entire career.
Well, and this goes back to, and I don't know if we've mentioned it on the podcast before, or if you and I just discussed it. This is why I think the Mavericks, this is why I think Luka cannot play point guard. And it's not because he's not good at it. I think he would be the best in the league. But the problem with playing point guard is all the attention is on you.
Yeah.
And you get beat up. You get double teamed on screens because you are the head of the snake. That's why I think your point guard, the Mavericks, need a strong physical point guard, Malcolm Brogdon, who can bring the ball down, who can initiate the offense, who can take the beatings from the other team. Luka can play off the ball. He can come off screens. It keeps the defense off balance where they can't double team him as mm-hmm. easily. And somebody that can make a play consistently. So that way that person would take the beating because they're quote unquote the head of the snake. And it frees up Luka to just focus on making plays for his team.
Okay, so there's two things I would say about that. Actually, I think three things, but I can't remember the third thing already. I'm very absent-minded in case you don't know that. Okay, so first of all, Steve Nash, so Bill Simmons asked him, like, what do you think you could have done differently to prevent that? Steve Nash said two things. First, they played very fast. Like, the Suns were known for, like, the 7 seconds or less offense. And he said, really, we should have played even faster. Because he said, D'Antoni would tell them, if you're tired of getting beat up, play faster. Because then the other team, they can't just hound you and you know, beat you upside the head. They're trying to run with you. Mm-hmm. And so they can't stop and beat you up. So playing faster would have helped to negate some of that physicality. And so I wonder if the Mavs have thought about that. They play a pretty steady offense.
They play kind of slow.
Yeah.
For the way the league is right now.
But it's possible that speeding it up, he said also spreading the floor even more. He said, like, you know, they did take, quote unquote, a lot of threes. I think they averaged,
well, back
like,
then they did.
They averaged like 20 something threes a game, yeah, which was like number one in the league, but now that would be bottom of the league. But he said we should have shot even more threes. Like Stoudemire should have been shooting threes, because again, if you spread out, you
don't
stretch
have
that out the defense.
Guy swiping his arm down.
Yeah, there's
and
no one
you
down low
arm.
That's
yeah.
going to tackle you when you drive it. So he said we should have played faster and we should have shot even more threes. And then that would have helped to negate the physicality. And that's why earlier when you said if Porzingis could start at the five, and you, like, if they got Covington, mm-hmm, and they started Covington and Finney Smith and then Porzingis at the five, then you can play truly five out, and maybe that would help with some of this physicality, so that, you know, Luka doesn't have to deal with somebody literally beating the crap out of him whenever he drives it. You know, he would still have his man defending him and hitting him, but at least you kind of take that guy out of the middle. So that's one thing. Do you have comments on that before I move on?
No, go ahead.
Okay. The other thing that Nash said was that they never really had a strong playmaker off the bench. Now, he said off the bench. A lot of times we talk about the Mavs need another playmaker in the starting lineup, but Nash said that he wished they had had a strong playmaker off the bench. And he said because, as it was, he never got a break. Like, mm-hmm, if he went off the court, their offense tried to run the same way.
But they didn't have anybody to run
with. They didn't
have
Nash. Yeah. And so they had Dragic for a while, who did a really great job of that. But that was kind of when Nash was older and Dragic was like a rookie. And, you know, that was towards the end. But they never really had a guy that could run the offense that well. And so he said he never got a break. You know, he was always taking a beating. And so that kind of made me think, like, okay, maybe they could use another playmaker in the starting lineup, or maybe just off the bench. That way Luka can truly get a rest.
Well, I think you can, even if, whether he was a starter or a bench guy, because you can just stagger the minutes to where when Luka's not out there, he's the primary
True.
Guy.
So, yeah.
But then they still play a lot together.
True, yeah.
But yeah, I think that is super important, having a secondary playmaker, especially with a guy like Steve Nash or Chris Paul. They're a little bit smaller. Now, Steve Nash was 6'3". Mm-hmm. He wasn't like a tiny point guard.
But he wasn't athletic.
He
wasn't strong and bruising. You
know? I think that's the one thing that might help Luka out with the physicality, is the fact that he, as a 20-year-old, is already in a man's body.
Yeah.
He's really strong and he's really big. He should only get stronger as his career goes on. Kind of like LeBron turned in from a man-child to whatever he is right now. Yeah. But so that might help with Luka's physicality, but also just playing off the ball a little bit, having somebody else initiate the offense or a secondary playmaker, kind of like the Warriors would use Iguodala as. Iguodala would a lot of times be the guy bringing the ball down the court. Curry would be free to run off screens and run around for miles and miles and miles.
Yeah.
So I do think that's important. The Mavericks do need to have that secondary playmaker. It's just, you know, right now they don't really have the assets to trade for a top-notch guy.
Well, they do, though, have another guy bring the ball up the court
a lot
more.
They have been doing
that
lately, yes, because it helps free up Luka and he's not getting beat the entire game.
And the fact is that it will wear him out. Like, you know, Nash talked about this.
Well, we saw that last year it happened.
You know, if you talk about in some of these playoff series that the Warriors went through, you could make the argument that Curry got worn down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that series against the Thunder, whenever the Thunder choked, you know, they still took them to seven games, and that wore down the Warriors, including Steph Curry. And so it's like, that's one reason why people always said you can't win with a scoring point guard or a ball dominant point guard. And it was because there was so much put on his shoulders. And so defenses could just hone in on him. It's not the same whenever you have your power forward that's your dominant scorer or your
well,
center
he's not
or
taking
whatever.
The blunt the entire
yeah,
time.
You know, he's not like Dirk wasn't the one bringing the ball up. He wasn't the one calling, you know, doing the pick and roll. He wasn't the one orchestrating the offense. You know, you just gave him the ball and yeah, maybe he took 20 shots, mm-hmm. but that's easier than if it's a ball, a scoring point guard, he's bringing it up. You know, it's full court pressure. He's got to run the offense. He's doing the pick and roll. Like, the reason why it was so hard for those kind of guys to win is because it just wore them out.
Well, I always thought a lot of that also what impacted them was their size.
True,
they were just
yeah.
a little, they were just small. Point guards are typically smaller guards, mm-hmm. Smaller players in the league, or the smallest players in the league. So it'd be interesting to see how Luka is impacted by that. But again, yeah. I go back to my thought, although I love having Luka being the point guard and have the ball in his hands the entire game, I think eventually, as his career goes on, he'll be moved to the two guard or the small yeah. forward, and you'll have a primary point guard. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be, you know, a best point guard in the league.
Or
but
the
just,
point guard yeah. that always has the ball.
Luka may still bring the yeah. ball down from time to time, much the way LeBron James was used when he was in Cleveland or Miami. But you need somebody that can take that beating.
Yeah.
You know, the full court press that can handle all those kind of things. And Luka is kind of away from the physicality yeah. coming off screens and stuff. But that's probably not going to happen anytime
soon. Well,
that's a
whole other step of team development.
Well, and that's where having a secondary playmaker really helps. Because yeah. if you have that, then
whatever
then there's no
position
problem
it is.
Then,
yeah. yeah. yeah.
And then there's no problem. As long as it's somebody that can bring the ball down the court that takes that beating yeah. away from Luka, or they kind of offset each other, then I think that it'll really ease any of the problem. And that's why I think the Mavericks won't invest any more money in bigs.
Yeah,
they're going to save their money for a playmaker.
Well, and again, you know, like Nash was saying, they should have played faster and uh-huh. and truly five out. And so, again, you know, that kind of negates having a big like a Drummond or back then, you know, like a Shaq. Yeah.
yeah,
Nash was saying if they had played that way, Shaq would have been a non-factor defensively.
Yeah.
yeah, not that Shaq wasn't great, but just, you know, if you're playing that way, his strength is in the inside, and that's like not going to work. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was some interesting comments that kind of physicality that he dealt with, which by the way, in that series was way more than anything Luka has dealt with. Like he had
a
bloody nose. He got hip checked, and another yeah. the next year he had his eye was swollen shut. You know,
the Spurs were kind of dirty. You know, when they yeah. had Bowen and Ori, they had all the bruisers.
Yeah. Or as Bill Simmons says, Horry.
They had Robert Horry
yeah.
And Bruce Bowen, and yeah. They were just a defensive-minded, physical team.
Yeah.
And obviously, the only way they could beat the Suns, other than Stoudemire getting suspended for standing up, was
yeah.
to be super physical with them.
It was interesting. Nash talked about that incident. So just for listeners, he was hip-checked by Robert Horry. And Stoudemire, and I think it was Boris Diaw maybe, but another player,
yeah.
they saw it happen and they stood up. They were like, you know, whoa, hey, what's going on? And they got suspended for that for, quote unquote, walking out onto the court or going onto the court, which you can't do in a hostile situation. But Nash was like, these guys are so big. If they stand up and move an inch, they're on the court. Like
yeah.
He was like, they weren't trying to start something. They just... They saw me get hip checked, like for crying out
yeah,
loud.
I think they've taken that rule away or softened it or something
know,
because
but,
of
yeah.
that incident.
Yeah.
I mean, they got suspended for a playoff game, a series defining
yeah.
playoff game because they were concerned about their point guard.
Who got Ori, tackled.
Robert Horry, you know, like the guy that just tried to decapitate him.
Got nothing.
Know, got
yeah.
nothing. And
yeah.
and Stoudemire got suspended because he was concerned about his point guard. It was a stupid rule, and I think they got rid of it.
Well, that whole series was, you know, Nash.
Well, that was the rigged days of the NBA.
Yeah,
anyways.
Nash was all sportsmanlike. He was like, you know, the Spurs, I don't have anything against them. He was like, more power to them. Like, they did what they had to do. And he's like, I have a lot of respect for them. I think it was great what they did. And I was like, really?
Yeah, right. I think he hates the Spurs.
He didn't
yeah.
take any cheap shots at all. But yeah, that series was, there was a lot of questionable things.
Well, I think
that
it
happened.
Was Stoudemire who said he would never go to the Spurs.
Because of that.
Because of their rivalry.
Did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said just out of respect for the fans.
Yeah.
He would never go there.
The Spurs were the arch nemesis because they got gifted.
Yeah.
You know, the series win. And yeah. But of course, you know, I think the season before that or after that, the Spurs won, well, quote unquote, fair and square. But you never knew what series was rigged back in those days.
But yeah, it was an interesting interview because I realized, you know, what Luka deals with. A lot of these, you know, dominant scoring point guards have dealt with, and for good reason, because teams can't beat them just straight up basketball. They have to find something else to beat them with. And so I don't think it's going to stop. I think he's just going to have to, one, learn how to play through it, but also the Mavs will have to.
They're going to have to man up.
Well, and figure some things out of like how can we help out Luka? Because the fact is he will get worn out.
Yeah.
They're going to have to figure something out.
Well, he already is.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see it happening now. Yeah. So. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, that's our podcast tonight, guys. Thank you so much for listening. The Mavericks do have the Golden State Warriors
tonight. It's 9 o'clock, so we still have 4 hours until the game.
And then for anybody that is going to go to work tomorrow, I feel bad for you for staying up late and watching the game.
Win.
Then we got the Kings tomorrow. Hopefully in one of these games, if not tonight, we'll have Porzingis. Hopefully tomorrow we'll have Porzingis back. We need him because we're getting killed in the paint, and Luka's getting double teamed like crazy.
It's like Porzingis offensively, you miss him.
You just miss
him. Force placing, but defensively, like holy cow, it's a layup line.
Yeah,
the entire game.
Well, you know, Powell is
it's
so good
offensively. It's
almost
like Dwight Powell is the worst defensive big in the league.
No, because his net rating is the highest.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I forgot.
We
should stop this because we sound like a bunch of pretentious jerks.
Well, all we're saying is that a guy who averages 8 points and 5 rebounds is not untradeable, okay?
But
and
I don't know if anyone is saying that he's untradeable.
What are you talking about?
I think there's Dwight Powell stands and there's...
There is not a single Twitter fan that is on Dwight Powell's side.
Well,
maybe one or two, but
maybe
most
not
of
on
it
Twitter.
Is the media guys?
Well, the guys that are close to the team that
they're never going to say anything bad about.
Well,
the
and also I think they have a closer look at the analytics and
look,
and also an appreciation for the roster. You know,
and again, I want Dwight Powell on the team.
Oh, yes.
But
yes.
Stop trying to convince me that he is the best center the Mavericks have ever had. He's not. He is easily replaceable, and you can put somebody else. If Dwight Powell can be successful in the NBA in this system, center can. That's all my point is. I want him on the team. I love Powell. I want him and Maxey, that two-man team with Luka on the bench. Not Luka on the bench, but them two on the bench.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's our podcast tonight. Mavs play tonight.
You can follow us on Twitter.
I'm doing this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Remember, you can follow Sydney on Twitter at @_SydneyMyers. I am at MartinLMyers@twitter.com. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you next time.
You did a really good job. I think we found your hidden talent.